Welcome to the inaugural episode of Every Little Model. And as we'd like to say, every little model tells a story. And so the stories that we're looking to explore today are around the frameworks and tools that we use to help us make sense of our organizations and our world, the human interactions that we have, how we interact with each other, and what models and frameworks can be used to shed light on how to make those even better. I'm joined by my co-host, Tricia, and today we are talking about gathering genres. That's our first little model to explore. Tricia, gathering genres. What does that mean to you?
This is an fun one, right, John? Then we decided to start with gathering genres. And the first question for me is, why did we call it gathering genres and not meeting genres? You know, so when we meeting types or something like that. And I think for me, when we started thinking about this topic, it was important for us to shift our lens and think outside of just meetings that happen at work, and that not every gathering that happens at work has to be a meeting, or has to, there's something about the word meeting that maybe brings with it a lot of connotations and expectations and history that people have about their experiences with meeting. And so if we change that frame a little bit and not think about calling it meeting types, but rather think about it as gathering, that might lead us somewhere different.
I like that. No, it's true. And the genre speaks that we had explored using the word archetypes, because these, when we gather, these gatherings take certain forms. They can have different archetypes or shapes, such as the small groups or large groups. They might have a time-based element to them. And the archetype that was fascinating to us, and we'll talk about what this actual model is in a second. And the archetype that was driving our interest was what we might call intention. What are we gathering to do, and making sure that we have alignment on that? We'll talk about that again as we get into it. But this little model, we've come up with several genres with it. It's inspired in part by work by people like Priya Parker and her work on the art of gathering, and Elisa Keith and lucid meetings. Let's walk through what these gathering genres are.
Maybe before, John, before I dive into what are the actual genres that we've thought about, I guess I'll just categorize this as what type of model is this? When I think about models, we've often talked about they have different types of models. They have why models, they have how models, what models, and if models, and they all serve a different purpose. Why models, they explain why something happens. They take you on a journey, and they help you see a longer perspective about what's happening. How models tell us more about how it works. They show us exactly how things interact and where they intersect and how they work. What models tell us what to do. They give us direction, or they give us actual more tactical options. And then if models tell us if something's working or not, they can give us a comparison of different things. If you ask me what type of model our meeting genre model is, I would put it squarely in the space of a what model. It's giving us characteristics of different types of gatherings, and it's allowing us to think about that as this type of genre. Then here are some important and interesting things to think about to make that be successful. We've come up with six genres in our model, and I'll just run through them really quickly, and then we can talk about the really important stuff, which is kind of how do we use it? What does it tell us what to do? So we have six genres: communicate, connect, create, control, coordinate, and learn. And they each tell us something different. So communicate gatherings answer the question about what do we need to share, or maybe what do we need to hear, and where do we need alignment from others? Connect genres answer the questions, who else thinks about this topic? What do others think? What other perspectives are out there? Create gatherings, they answer the question, where are we going and what can we do? Control gatherings talk about what will we do and are we committed to that course of action? Coordinate gatherings are about where are we and are we on track? And then learn gatherings answer the questions, what do we know, what do we think, and what sense can we make of this? So there's six different gathering genres: communicate, connect, create, control, coordinate, and learn. John, when you think about this, what is interesting or curious to you about these genres?
I think What stands out to me, and certainly it's the utility that I find, it provides a different way of looking at interactions. I'll take the first lens is looking at existing gatherings and interactions that you might have in your place of work or in an organization, and to almost walk in cold and witness and observe and listen to how people are interacting to try and get a sense intuitively as to what is going on. Is this a meeting that is focused on reflecting on what has gone well and what could go better? Is it a learning gathering, or is this something where the participants are trying to actually control something? They're trying to see whether something's on track, it's behind schedule, it needs to have the roadblocks removed. It's almost like an X-ray goggles into a gathering to see what's going on. You've got something that brings new knowledge. And I always find it helpful and insightful to share that with a group of people and ask the question, so what is your intent here as you're gathering for this last 30 minutes or an hour, or God help us, 3 hours if we're gathering for that long? It better be fulfilling.
What you're saying is that it kind of positions a bystander. Is that what you're saying?
Exactly. Yes, it does. The bystander has a unique perspective now using these genres to be able to understand what's going on and play that back to participants. The second thing that I find is always a curiosity is when you discover that there's a misalignment. And you and I talk a lot about organizational friction. And a lot of organizational friction comes from spending 30 minutes, 60 minutes, 3 hours trying to accomplish things that are not aligned. I'd sit down with you thinking I'm here to be creating a plan or designing something or collaborating, and you come to the meeting thinking that you are there to be following up on something that's already created or in motion.
Yeah, this one really resonates with me in terms of why this model is really useful, because I've seen that happen so often, that people gather together, but they have come together with a very different perspective about why they are there. Like you're saying, somebody feels that we are here to share some key information about this, and somebody else it feels that they're there to sort of collaborate more about a topic rather than be told about something. And it leads to real friction in the meeting about, what are we doing here? And people get frustrated, and it leads to conflict as well. It leads to people are pushing in different directions. They're doing something different. And I think if we use the genre lens to think about that beforehand, to get really clear on the question that we're trying to answer, is it that we need to know about who else thinks about this? What is the question that we're really trying to answer? That can position us in the right genre, and then it can set the stage. So it leads into context setting, which is such an important part of having a successful meeting, setting the context up front so that everybody is positioned well to accomplish what they need to do.
I think it also allows you to start looking at roles once you understand the context and the intent for a gathering. There are many of these intentions, these genres that are complementary, provided you have people occupying different roles. And you, as a facilitator, know that deeply and intimately that your role in a certain gathering is going to be different, whether it's to be a bystander looking in or somebody who's actively helping people navigate through a series of topics while others are participants. And the overall genre might be to create something or to control something or to learn, but there are different roles. And I have to say, again, one of the useful things from this model is its utility outside of the world of organizations. I've just been on a 4-day whirlwind college visit tour in Southern Ontario, where the overall purpose of those visits is to learn in order to make a better informed decision about where one is going to go study at university. My son has to stay in that learning mode. I was coordinating. There was a portion of that genre that was very much a coordination piece. How are we going to get from one city to the next? When does the tour start, et cetera? But it's all in service of the overarching purpose, which is learning.
You're raising an important question for me about this model. Does this model say that a gathering only can fit in one genre? What has been our experience about gathering having more than one genre? That's something that I've seen as well. People are often in organizations say, well, we want a little bit of this and a little bit of this, we're going to a little bit of this, and we're making a really good meal, and kind of spice it up with all these different things. But what I've seen is that once you start to cross, I think you can have successful gatherings that maybe fit that share genre. So they have a primary and maybe a secondary genre. But I think from my experience, what I've seen when you step outside of that and you try to have weight, you know, it fits all the different genres, then it gets really complex and it doesn't achieve anything and it gets too diluted. And I just want to make a distinction about the genre for the meeting is different to the purpose of each activity that you might do in a meeting. So
exactly.
Even though you might have a gathering genre for your session, which is about learning, but the flow of your session, the purpose of each different thing that you do in your session, you might have a section that's around coordinating or a section that's around creating or a section that's around communicating. So your flow, the purpose of each of the different parts in your flow can switch back and forth between the different categories that we've used for the genres. But the overall genre still holds. But it's still a learning meeting. And so it's still a learning gathering, even though you have different purpose events for each of the different sections in your agenda. I think there's a little unique way of thinking that goes with that.
I agree. I mean, we were conscious in terms of using the term genre, insofar as it did lead us to think about other things that might use that term, such as films, for example. And you can have a documentary, you can have a horror film, or a drama that might have a comedic element to it, but it's got to be subservient to or subsumed by this overarching genre for the film in question in this case. And I think, you know, some of us have been in those situations where we've been watching films and it's been unclear to us as to what exactly is the genre. It seems like it's a horror, but I'm doing a lot of laughing. Is that
absolutely? I mean, I could definitely squarely place myself there. Most Sundays when watching family movies that my husband picked, it leave me wondering exactly what genre it is. And I think the interesting thing as well is that you make me think about the improv game where they switch genres all the time and how it ends up. You know, so they have a plot and they have a purpose, right? An overall purpose, and they have rules in the game. But every time they switch the genre, something gets lost. And you can see by the end of the game, the plot's completely lost. Like we've forgotten the plot and we're all over the place in terms of how we're acting. And I think it's, you know, it's silly, but it's a great reference to what happens when we try to make gatherings fit too many of the genres and we completely lose the plot and the overall purpose gets diluted and it just disappears. We end up in a mess of something that's happened and we're not sure what.
Yes, I think the word matched applies to quite a lot of organizational existence as we improvise our way through a week, through a day. So we've got these six gathering types. Again, it's connecting, controlling, creation, coordination, communication, and learning. It might be useful to talk about how we stumbled into this.
We did stumble into this over dinner.
I can't remember what we ate, but I can remember what we talked about.
I do remember that whenever I thought it was really good and I thought I wanted to come back and have it again. Maybe it was the conversation about the food. I'm not sure.
It's a two-part story, isn't it? My recollections are, you know, Miami, open window dining. The context for dining was that we've been working on designing the meeting architecture, which is the terminology that we were using with our company, the meeting architecture for a small boutique consulting firm. And we found ourselves, at least in our conversation, just suddenly pausing and thinking, why are we talking about these meetings in terms of their frequency or who attends them? Are we limiting ourselves? We say that we're a learning organization. And then as we list out all the core meetings, we're not trying to over dictate how people are going to be gathering, but you know, you need to put things in the calendar to make time so that people can get together and coordinate schedules. But we kept referring to them as our daily project team meeting or our weekly leadership team meeting or the quarterly account meeting or account team meeting. And we just asked ourselves, look, have we limited ourselves by the naming convention? That's certainly what stood out to me.
Yeah, I think that was a big aha moment for us that we're like, we are absolutely boxing ourselves in by using this naming convention and that meetings and the gatherings should not be named for who and when they happen, for who and what frequency they happen on. And as we started digging into, okay, well, that weekly leadership team meeting, what is the real purpose? What are we really trying to do there? And as we started peeling back the layers of that onion, we started getting to the core of what we were really trying to achieve in each of the different meetings, I think that's when we started to see some patterns emerge around, you level up even further when you talk about the actual purpose of the meeting, but they all fit the same question. So the purpose of the meeting could be to do whatever, but it fits the question around where are we going? That is the question that it's trying to answer. And so we started to see these patterns of what were the overarching question that the purpose was serving. And in seeing that pattern is how we got to these six genres. We started to see the patterns of this is about sharing or hearing from other people, and the pattern around, you know, it is about what do we know, what do we think? And those sort of questions were emerging. And I think that's what led us in this direction to think a level beyond purpose, because there's a lot of meeting guidance, really, really useful meeting guidance that lives out there around getting clarity of purpose for meeting. And this, when I think about it and when I think about how I think about it, it's always a level above the meeting purpose. I think about the genre first. So this is a, you know, predominantly a create gathering, and create gatherings are about where are we going and what could we do. And then I think about, okay, well, the purpose of this particular session is to do these things, and the inputs and the outputs will be that. It's a layer above purpose, which I think is a little unique and different, because not many times have we seen that come about. We get a lot of information about the importance of purpose, the meeting, but this is almost a layer before purpose.
I agree.
Just before our break, John, we were talking about application and how could you use this model in your organization, and what could it, you know, help you do differently or better? Any new thoughts on that?
You and I, as we work together, like to have common consonants with our thoughts and categories. I'm stuck in a D mode with diagnostic and design tool as my two uses for application. The six gathering genres can be used as a rough and ready diagnostic framework. You can look at an interaction, a meeting, a workshop, an event, and use it to diagnose what is going on. Use it as a launching point for understanding or asking participants, what are you here to do? What's the intent? What's that higher purpose? The design aspect is when thinking about mapping out the rhythm to an organization through various daily and weekly and monthly interactions to make sure that you're using a language to make sure that you are designing with intent, as it were.
Yeah. And I think that's how we got into this model, through like both that diagnostic and that design lens. I think one of the things that has come up for me as I think about this model more and more as well is that it's also a great way to reflect on how the gatherings that we have in our organizations reinforce the culture that we desire in our organizations. So often there can be a disconnect between those two things. As a culture, we might say we value collaboration and we value new perspectives and learning, for example. But then if you look at the types of gatherings we have in the organization, you might find that we actually have a whole lot more gatherings that are in this sort of control and coordinate space. And maybe we aren't doing anything that is around connecting people together or even inviting new perspectives and engaging in new learning. So there can be a disconnect between the types of gatherings that we have and the culture that we want to build in an organization. So it's a great way of reflecting on that. I think it inspires me to think a bit about that.
What one thing would you want people to take away from looking at the six gathering genres?
I think I would want someone to take away that they can be a helpful aid in many different ways. They can be a helpful aid, like we've said, for diagnostic or design, but just thinking about a particular gathering that you're having. And I guess I would stretch the that it, we're talking about this in the context of organizational life and the work that we do within organizations. But I think you can stretch this into other gatherings that we have in our lives. Like when we've been thinking about this, we've been testing do these genres apply outside of the organizational world? Do they apply to a birthday party? Do they apply to a wedding? There are different gatherings that happen, political gatherings, different things like that. Do they fit into these genres? So the one thing I want people to take away is that they are a guide and that they can help you think about how to make any gathering unique, different, impactful, and valuable for the people that are attending. For me, I think that would be the one thing. What about you? Which one thing do you...
For me, I think it's that alignment of intent. It's that story that you tell of, you know, struggling to figure out what movie is it exactly that you've chosen for our pleasure. Everyone seems to want to laugh, but I'm not laughing, et cetera. I think it says that alignment around intent and purpose. And that certainly removes a lot of the, at least that source of friction. Plenty of other sources to go after, but that's a big one.
John, let's wrap this up then. I think we're at the end of this. Let me ask you a question. If this model were an object, what would it be?
You ask the most difficult of questions. I had to take something conceptual and make it very tangible. Okay, if it were an object, it would be 3D glasses. And I'm not talking about the new 3D glasses that look more like sunglasses these days. I'm talking about the ones back in the day that you would have found in the back of a magazine that you'd have to tear out and fold the cardboard red and blue 3D glasses. But I choose that because I think anybody who's taking your glasses off trying to watch a 3D movie in the theater, it's all very fuzzy. It's difficult to see what's going on. You feel as though you've entered into something ill-prepared. And again, winding the clock back, one might as a child have gone into these movie theaters without the glasses because you didn't get the back of the cereal box or whatever. And it's very difficult. So the 3D glasses, the six gathering genres are like the glasses that you put them on. And you can start to see things moving in different dimensions that had you not been prepared to do that, you would be able to fully enjoy the movie. That is the best I could do on this one, Gigi.
That was excellent, John. Let's leave it there. We hope you've enjoyed today's episode talking about gathering genres. On our website, everylittlemodel.com, you can find a visual image of this model that you can download. Also, sign up to our newsletter and follow us on Instagram. And stay in touch for more on this model and others. If you've enjoyed today's episode, please send us an email at hello@everylittlemodel.com and help us grow our listening base by sharing it with your friends and colleagues. Join us again next month when we explore a new model and share the stories that these models inspire. We look forward to you listening in.